What's that? The flowers, I was going to do it at the end. I can do it now, though, because I probably forget at the end. Moms, when you leave, there's flowers out that exit, and it'll be at this exit as well. So please grab those. All the other thing here, too, is the Calvary Chapel magazines are up back. I encourage you to grab one of those. And this was found, I think Aaron said, in the nursery. It's got like a gift card and some chocolates in it. I don't know if somebody left that. So if it's Eric's, if anybody needs a snack or anything, you're feeling low on energy, let me know. There's some Reese's in there, and I'll throw them out to you. I'll try not to put you to sleep. So again, let me pray again before I go. I got to calm my nerves. Lord Jesus, we're here because of you and all that you have done for us, Lord, and then for our moms, Lord, as we pause and just consider them and all that they have done and all that they do. And Lord, just a reminder of how you've empowered them to do what they do, yeah, specifically created for such a task. I ask that you would speak through me, and that there would be nothing of me, and that only what you would want said would be said, and well, that it would minister to the hearts here, that it would be encouragement. So in your mighty name we pray, amen. So if we've got any visitors here, I'm Jim Braley, I'm assistant pastor here, or trying to figure out what that is. Pastor Brian will be back next week, and we'll be back to normal. So today we're going to be tackling Mother's Day, and I know I did this 2 years ago, and it's really hard for a guy to teach on Mother's Day, because all you guys are looking at me like, what do you know? And it's legit. I'm not a mom. And but I had a good mom, a good stepmom, and I'm married to a world-class woman who's a world-class mom. And you moms, you have it harder nowadays. Like when I was a kid, I was thinking about my mom and how I was raised. And when I was a kid, we'd get up, mom feed us, and she would kick us out. And we had a horn that when we had to come home, that meant to come home, otherwise don't come home. And so we were just gone. So that wouldn't work today, I guess. So it's a different world. You know, there's a lot of adventure. But anyhow, so here to celebrate moms in probably one of the most under-recognized roles there is in our society. Moms, you are what makes it happen. I have a soft spot for moms, and I do find myself, hopefully people don't think I'm a creeper, but I observe moms and their kids and how moms interact. I'm just really blessed by that relationship. And it's really cool just to observe all that you're able to do all at once, and all the manners carry on a conversation, and all the kids running around, and you still stay on track. And I know some of you moms probably think that motherhood is a consequence of the fall, but it's not. It was God's design from the beginning, and it was part of his perfect plan. And it's sad. And nowadays, this whole thing is motherhood and the weight of it and how honorable it is. I feel it's kind of getting lost in our society, in really a lot of the finer things of womanhood. The roles are getting blurred, and I think we as a society are losing out because of it. Because ladies, the fact of the matter is you are what is good. Right, guys, we're rough and tumble, and we can get off the rails pretty easy. Where brains aren't always where they should be, but in a society, moms and women, you're usually what is good, what is wholesome. And you hold out, even though your boys or your husband or whatever may be a bit of a knucklehead. And for our society, though, it's being lost, and I think our society is suffering the consequences of it, the richness of motherhood and the importance of that role. But I feel for you moms, because it seems like it's free rein for everybody to criticize a mom and how she's doing, what she's doing, in social media, all the things, the social pressures, do I stay home? Do I, work out of the home, focus on a career? And no matter what decision you make, there's somebody who's going to criticize that call, whether it's their business or not. And appearance, there's so much burden and weight put on you ladies to have a certain look. Of course, it changes over time. And it's not good. I mean, I know it's important to the ladies to look nice and all that stuff, but for it to be this tremendous weight is not good. And for any of you husbands and dads out there, if you put that pressure on your wife, stop it. Just don't do it. She doesn't need the weight. And you might want to look at the mirror, because we fail too, right? And some of you who are losing your hair, starting to, and you're starting to wonder where it's at, I'm talking to the guys, it's on your back. I don't know why that is. I'm anxious to ask God why the transition. But anyhow, it's probably a little too much information. Anyhow, so in preparation, as I do, I read all kinds of stuff and look around for ideas, and I came up with some. Some of you guys have already seen some of these posts online, but one regarding sleep I really liked. It says, "Mom sleep. It's like regular sleep without the sleep." Huh? Or this one I really resonates in our household. "She believed she could, and she almost did, but then someone asked her repeatedly for a snack, and she lost track of what she was doing." Right? We know that one? This sometimes might happen in our household, too. When you tell your kid it's bedtime, but your husband tells him he can have 5 more minutes. I don't know if we read the bottom, it says, "I'll kill you." So I am guilty of that. My wife just wants a break, and I'm like, yeah, let's do this one more time. And all it is doing is elevating the energy. But then I came across this quote by an author named Donna Ball. I don't know if any of you know her. It seemed like she was pretty famous. I never heard of her, but I like this quote, because it's hard when you look up a definition for motherhood. It's pretty bland. But I thought this one kind of hit the mark. It says, "Motherhood is a choice you make every day to put someone else's happiness and well-being ahead of your own, to teach hard lessons, to do the right thing even when you're not sure what the right thing is, and to forgive yourself over and over again for doing everything wrong." That seems like a mom thing. You guys flog yourselves. It's the way you're wired. But also in preparation with this, again, because I'm not a mom, I took it upon myself to listen to a whole bunch of mom podcasts. And that was very hard. I had to stop. There's just so much. You guys' minds are so busy. And there's so many things that you think about, and it seems like all at once that I'd have to take a break. There was so much talking and so many things going on, I'd have to pause and just kind of let what was being talked about set for a little bit. But in so many of them, it was heavy. Of course, it's heavy on me anyhow, and I really hope I can get through this teaching without crying. It's very few of them were about happy things. It was about this heaviness. I just jotted down some thoughts, some things that came through there's all kinds of them. It says, discouraged, comparison, or some was escape, tired, overwhelmed. A lot of talk about pre-baby genes. That came up often. Sacrifice, peaceful. That one was from Wales. I don't know if motherhood ever released that, but there was one that was talking about that, I guess. Nap, cold coffee, tired, hot coffee, hot mess, despair, negative thoughts, defeated, poison, nap, discontentment, guilt, shame, anxious, fear, tired, exhaustion, game face, worry. And then there's some talking about self-righteousness and in the comparison we can have. We compare my parenting against somebody else's and how that can play out as doing to others what we don't like done to ourselves. Lonely, cold coffee, and tired once again. And does it resonate? Is that, were those podcasts pretty on? Wow. And then you take to a guy, something, all this madness going on, just way, way too much. And some of this, one of the things I'm going to say here is only going to make sense to people who are part of a marriage conference thing we did. But this is what a guy thinks. What time's the game? What's her supper? I wonder if I can get a tea time. I wonder how busy the links are. Is it Tuesday? I wonder what the weather's going to be this weekend. I wish it was Tuesday. Very few are going to get that. But anyhow, we'll move along. So with that, I guess it just paints this picture of heaviness that it's kind of unfortunate in my mind. So anyhow, let's open to John 8. And at this point in Scripture, in chapter 7, the Feast of Tabernacles has been going on, and midway through that week of festival, Jesus arrives, and at this time he's still laying pretty low in his ministry because they were out to get him, to kill him. And but here he starts teaching. You know, he goes to the temple and he starts teaching the crowds, and it draws lots of people in. And so the normal, the legalists all arguing with him and whatnot. So anyway, that goes on. Everybody goes home for the night. And then where we start here, it's the next day, and Jesus is coming back to the temple. And it says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, and that's at that night. And so now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And I'm going to pause here for a second, because my guy brain kicked in when I was first reading this, and I'm afraid that some of you other guys may have the same thought. As though he did not hear, right? And I think, guys, we're guilty of that from our brides or significant others, right? And with like likelihood, so, well, Jesus did it, right? He tuned him out, you know. But you know what my wife would say if I said that to her? And they crucified him. So let's, she wouldn't. She would never say that. So moving on, verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Jesus said, "No one, Lord." She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." A perfect Mother's Day scripture, wouldn't you say? And if Pastor Brian's listening right now, he's probably very nervous. He's like, "Braley, what are you going to do with this? Woman caught in adultery." Well, let's see what the Lord has. So to step into this woman's, her situation, who was this woman? What's her family structure? Where was she? What's her social status? And this is a real person. Curious, you know, what's her story? And I'm sorry, I'm jumping around on my notes here. It's like I missed a whole bunch here. So, anyhow, this is clearly a setup that, I got to step back here a little bit. So we've got this teaching going on. Jesus is teaching a crowd, and who knows, it's a large, a multitude of people. And so it's going on, and all of a sudden there's this disruption, right? And so I don't know how this woman arrived. You know, was she kicking and screaming? Or by the time they got her there, was she just defeated and was just silent? Was she at least wrapped up, or was she naked? Was she just a total shame? You know, what's the scenario? But certainly very disruptive. And she knows the potential that in moments she could be executed. You know, and, you know, so to be in that place, you know, what's going on? And I can't help but think this is a setup, because there's variables here. Like, where's the guy? Where's the guy in this? And, you know, because they say, you know, in the law, you know, Moses says that those caught in adultery should be stoned. But it's both, you know, and so she knows that as she's coming up here. But in any event, it goes from this teaching, very disruptive. You imagine what it's doing here, and somebody comes in, and it's a bunch of chaos, and that's kind of what's going on. And so now all eyes are on this, in this exchange between the Pharisees, the scribes, and Jesus. And so they put, they're trying to set Jesus up. Right? If he says, yes, the law says to stone her, so proceed, he would appear super harsh, right? He's been hanging out with the sinners, all the bad people of society. That's who Jesus has been hanging out with. And if he were to come across with such harshness, right, there'd be issues there. And then the other piece is, under Roman law, the Jews couldn't execute. They couldn't do it, right? And that's why they had to go through the whole deal to crucify Jesus, because Rome would not allow the Jews to, you know, perform capital punishment. But then if he lets her go, he appears soft. Like, it's not a big deal. When, you know, and then if it was a capital offense, it's a big deal, right? So, but they're trying to catch him, as they've done, they've tried, you know, we read of several times in the scriptures, trying to trip him up, which is kind of comical. He's God, and it's interesting to watch men to try to trip up God. So Jesus doesn't answer. He stoops down and he writes on the ground. Right? And we all want to know, right? I know I do. I think it'd be pretty cool. I'd like to know what he wrote on the ground. But the scriptures don't tell us. You know, some say it's the Ten Commandments. Others say that he's writing down the names of the accusers and maybe the things that they've done wrong. We don't know. And it may have been just an act of kindness. Because as he stooped down to write on the ground, the focus was on that and not this poor woman. I could see Jesus doing that. So he says, he with no sin cast the first stone. And with this, there's no stones on the temple mount. So people, to do this, they've got to bring their rocks with them. They've got to come armed to do this. When he asks that question, it says one by one, oldest to youngest, walked away, right? They begin to leave. So then it's just this woman and Jesus remaining in the midst of this onlooking crowd, who I presume were probably looking on in judgment and waiting. What is Jesus going to do? What will he do? We know. Where are your accusers? And he says, just go and sin no more. You know, change your ways. And so you kind of, this woman, what was her life like after this? I mean, right out in public display, to be used for someone else's wrong motives. You know, her standing in society, relationship with husband, kids, whatever the story may be. I got to think she was changed. She was different. You know, and I hope I meet her in heaven. Because what a heavy, heavy, heavy exchange, you know. But anyhow, so how does this apply to motherhood? It's a great question. And so moms, I believe you could empathize with this woman in your role as a mom. Obviously not as the adulteress, but as a recipient of criticism from a crowd of judgmental onlookers. Your life on display, as you can't control every word or action of your children, they can pull the curtain back on your real everyday life. And people can see, and they can judge with just a snapshot of what's going on. And not that all critique is bad. You know, people give it, and it's, people are good-willed, you know, in trying to offer up some advice. But it does seem that motherhood is one of those things that so many think they're an expert on and feel compelled to enlighten you with it. And particularly with the advent of social media, it just seems to be ramped up. But to put yourself in this situation where this woman is being dragged before everybody, I think you could probably hear the murmurings, right? But let's switch it to the mom role. Can you believe she isn't breastfeeding? Or is she really going to bottle feed? She uses disposable diapers. How horrible. What about the environment? Well, she is going to use cloth diapers. Oh, so hard on the baby. Messy, so much work. She's doing belly time. And Dr. Facebook says you shouldn't do that at all. Right? And really, ladies, social media, I'm going down a rabbit trail. I would encourage you to shut that off. Because it creates a world of comparison. Right? And to quote Theodore Roosevelt, right, comparison is the thief of joy. Right? You can go live your every day and doing what you're doing, and everything seems fine until there's this other thing, this other post, and you're comparing to a setup photo op to possibly an edited photo overall displayed as an appearance of that person's everyday life. And then you stand in your perceived hell and say, what am I doing wrong? It's fake. I should say, not all of it is, but comparison will steal your joy. So throw that thing, throw it. Anyhow, that's for another teaching, all that social media is doing, but moving on. Or her hair is a mess and she wears sweatpants or yoga pants all day. She probably doesn't even brush her teeth. She bathes her kid too often. Not enough. She used the wrong soap. She used the wrong shampoo. They don't feed their kids organic baby food. They let the baby sleep too much. The baby stay up too late. Just doesn't get enough sleep altogether. They pierced her ears already? They're having another child? She still isn't back to her pre-baby weight. She's just letting herself go. They use timeout. Can you imagine that? 1, 2, 3. Go figure. She spanks her kids. They're going to grow up to be violent, probably murderers. She lets her kids get away with anything and everything. Set some boundaries, woman. Do you hear how she's talking to her child? She's hollering at her kid. Oh, my. Oh, their poor self-esteem. She gives snacks too close to dinner time. She doesn't read to her baby. Everybody knows you have to do that or your kid will be stupid. Did you see your post? Who would put that grubby little kid out there for the world to see? And did you notice the house was a mess? Ever heard of photo editing? She totally neglects her husband or acknowledges her husband too much. Or baby needs 100% attention. Any of this hitting home that plays out in with you moms? So you're standing there, all these accusations, all this murmuring. But as you're standing there amongst the crowd and with Jesus, you begin focusing on the party of accusers a little more intently. And what were blurry figures initially begin to look familiar. Looks very, very familiar. It's you. You are the accuser. I yelled at my kid. I'm a bad mom. I'm exhausted, and I didn't give them the attention they need. I'm a bad mom. I don't get out of my yoga pants. I just pull my hair up, no makeup, no lipstick, eyeliner, or whatever you ladies do. I'm lazy. I'm a bad mom. My teenager just screamed at me and told me they hate me. I'm such a failure. I'm such a bad mom. I get so frustrated and angry at times that I yell and say things I don't mean. I'm such a bad mom. I know I should play with them, but I'm just so tired. I'm a bad mom. Sometimes I don't know my husband exists. I should have something ready for him to eat, but I'm just so worn out. I'm a bad mom. I'm a bad wife. I'm still 20 pounds over my pre-mom weight. I'm out of shape. I'm a bad wife. I'm a bad human, really. My kid suffers from depression or eating disorder or drugs or whatever tendency is out there, and I can't fix it. I'm such a horrible mom. Sometimes I don't even like my kids. Sometimes they drive me nuts. Such a bad mom. But I love them so much it hurts. I would lay my life down a million times over for them. But I just don't measure up to the task. I'm a horrible, horrible mom. But your mind is racing with all these thoughts and accusations, a continuous loop in your mind. Eventually, you begin to calm down and refocus. And you look around and say, where did all the stone throwers go? You gaze around and you catch a glimpse of the last one cresting the knoll out of sight. It's silent. The crowd makes not a sound. So you look to Jesus. It's just the two of you now. And he asks, "Woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you. Jesus isn't nearly as hard on you as you are. It's just you and Jesus and his will for you and your kids is all that really matters." You look at the accusers, you're anxious. But Jesus is not the accuser. Moms, you were made for this. You were equipped for this. And I know there are times that you're at the end of the rope. Just say, how am I going to do this? You struggle just to get through today. Or the highlight of your day is when they go take a nap. But that's reality. Motherhood isn't easy. If it was, God would have given it to dads. So, in closing, I'm just going to read a scripture out of 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 8. And I've thrown up a slide here that I think is pretty cool. I was looking for something with mom praying and just a lion in the back, looking a little more fierce than this, but this is from a prayer thing, like an international prayer group of moms is where this is from. It says, "Draw the battle lines. Position yourself to fight for the lives of your children. Don't go alone." And it just stood out to me. Just the the tenderness of a woman, the femininity with a sword. And we all know we don't want to cross Mama. But a praying mom has Christ at her back. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded to them, tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel. And so what's happening is the king of Aram is he's trying to attack the Israelites, and Elisha is telling the king of Israel that this is where they're going to be, this is where they're going to plan their attack, this is what's going on. And each time they make a move, Elijah the prophet is telling them, and so the Israelites are able to maneuver and have victory, or just not have battle at all, possibly. So the king of Aram is very frustrated and wants to know, there's got to be somebody in here who's telling the other king what's going on. And so he calls everybody in, but the response is, none of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. He says, oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asks, right? So he gets up, looks out the window, stretches, yawns, and oh my, we're surrounded. This does not look good. Elisha, we're in trouble. What shall we do? And Elisha responds, replies, says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I'm sure the servant was like, well, where are they? Keep looking out the window. I don't see anybody else. Right, and it says, Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So moms, you're not alone. Heaven is your resource. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who can put all these things into perspective. And God doesn't give us anything he can't handle. So continue to fight for your kids. Don't give up hope. Hang in there. You're doing great things. And I guess with that, I have an open heart, though, for teaching. As I look around, there are ladies here who have been through the season that some of you younger moms are going through. They've lived it, and they can be your champion. So, yeah, you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. So reach out and receive, you know, wisdom from those who've been there and done that. And fathers, I don't pretend to try to understand all the stuff that moms deal with. And I don't say it as a joke, like those podcasts, it's like way, way too much for me. All that those ladies were talking about, and just so many things that moms worry about. And they're tired. So So I encourage you to step up your game. Maybe get a little more involved. Give a hand. Encourage. As I've said numerous times, for you young families, I don't know what says I love you more. A dozen roses or changing a dirty diaper. I don't know, probably depends on the day. And kiddos, you don't understand yet, and I don't mean that in any derogatory way. You just don't know. You haven't lived enough life yet to understand what your mom's going through. And when it appears that she does not like you, or does not care, that she's out of touch, you have no idea the intensity with which she loves you. So listen to her. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9 says, my son, or we can say my daughter, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. There'll be a time in life when the things that your mom and dad have told you, it'll be just that. There'll be treasures. The things that you think are dumb. Mom's much wiser than you realize. So, anyhow, let's pray and we'll get you out of here. Again, Lord, we thank you for our moms. And just the gift, and Lord, how you've made them for such a purpose. And Lord, I just pray that you would be close to them. And that they would know your presence. And Lord, that they would fall into your arms. Lord, when they feel broken, when they feel defeated and discouraged, be their strength, be their rock. Lord, and bless these families here as they go out and celebrate their moms and have opportunity to hang out and visit. May it be a rich time. May it be a blessed time. In your holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you.